The Federal Reserve faces a massive ticking time bomb. Many are calling this time bomb what will lead to the Great Reset, where everything is finally affordable again, real estate, stocks, and everybody can have a chance to get their piece of the pie once again. What are the odds of a Great Reset, and what do we face ahead? Should we be selling stocks and sitting on the sidelines? Talk about that in this video. This video is sponsored by Noobverse Pro Crash Courses with a price increase at $11.59 tonight. Hey everyone, me Kevin here, and in our course member live stream yesterday, we covered some interesting data. And in this video, we're going to put it together to analyze, what could we be facing? Many of you have heard about the inverted yield curve before, which is basically where the difference between the 10-year and the 2-year spread goes negative. Don't worry about any of that. Just know that when this chart goes negative, people are usually worried. Here's the zero line. When we go under the zero line, people start getting concerned that we could be facing a recession. And that's because pretty much every single time this has inverted, we have faced a recession relatively soon after, usually within an average of about 18 months. But it's not generally the going negative period that leads to a recession. It's usually the going positive period. In other words, it's not here that's painful. It's usually here that's painful. And what we've seen recently is a steepening of this line. That is, this line starting to try to rotate up again, and some are worried that high oil prices and the potential for stagflation could lead this line to skyrocket rapidly over zero. And what has that signaled in the past? Take a look at this. The last time before COVID that we've had a situation like this was June of 2007. And we all know what happened in 2008 and 9. And the pain that was felt in 10 and 11, trying to get out of the disaster of the housing crisis that was built up all the way through 2007, that came crumbling down in 2008 with the mega collapse of Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, and other banks. Well, what about before that? Because as you could see, in 2008 and 9, boy, this yield curve was not inverted. It was actually massively positive. So if you notice, you had euphoria and excitement during the inverted stage, which was really right here, your 2005, 6, and 7 era, but massive pain during the steepening phase here, 2007, 8, 9. Okay? Has that repeated itself in history? Well, yes. Look at the dot-com bubble. Last time we went positive was from the inversion in 2000 to a re-steepening in December of 2000, so into 2001, and a massive re-steepening where, well, we had a very painful dot-com bubble that came crashing down throughout 2001 and 2003. Stock market did not bottom out until about March of 2003, which is actually near roughly the top of this curve. When we look at when the stock market really bottomed out in 2009, we also look at about February of 2009, which is also relatively near the top of this curve. So in other words, the bottoms of the market were closer to the top of these curves, and the bottom of these curves signaled more pain ahead. Well, that's not great given where we are now. But what do we have in terms of history going back? Well, go back to 1980, when we had an inflationary environment and where Paul Volcker had to step in to really crimp down inflation expectations and finally prove that the Federal Reserve was not going to bow down to the fear of inflation and give up against the fight. What did we get? Well, we had an inversion in the early 80s right here, very early in 1980, and the steepening led to a recession. Technical recession in January to July of 1980, with the recession and at most pain peaking around May of 1980, again, when you started getting this re-steepening. And you had a double dip recession thanks to the need for Paul Volcker to really crimp down inflation expectations. And once again, you had an inversion here, or I should say a reversion, in late 1981, with, again, most of the pain around the steepening, bottoming around the steepening of these curves. So the question is, will this time be different? I mean, consider for a moment. In 1980, we were in recession during the steepening over zero. 1981, we were in recession during the steepening over zero. December of 2000, we were in recession 3 months after the steepening over zero. In June of 2007, we were technically in recession within 6 months once we crossed the zero line. The only time we were not in recession was actually in 1998. In 1998, we actually came out of zero right here, and we didn't really have a recession until, well, the 2000s, but people suggest that right here you had the inversion that led to the pain of the 2000s. So the question is, was this just luck? And what about the inversion over here, which technically didn't cross the zero line? Well, a lot of folks say that not crossing the zero line doesn't count, and being only negative 12 basis points inverted here, sign of pain to come. What is a sign of pain to come is a deeper inversion, like, oh dear Lord, what we have over here, which is nearly 100 basis points of inversion. And according to history, we're generally going to expect a recession. So what possible excuse could there be as to why this time could be different? Well, this is a perfect opportunity to talk about the Noob vs. Pro crash courses. Do you want to learn how to buy your first home, boost your productivity, negotiate real estate this winter, start a profitable side hustle, fundamentally analyze stocks, all for $79 each for a crash course? We expect these courses to cost around $150 to $200 as crash courses once they're published. Right now, they're on pre-sale and we'll be releasing these courses soon. But the price of this pre-sale will be going up today at 11:59 p.m. So check out some of these crash courses like how to renovate real estate, how to retire early, how to never pay taxes in America. And what I'd like you to do is consider clicking these buttons on the right, which when you select two or more, you apply an additional 10% discount, and you apply another one, like a third, it goes up to 12%. Look at that. Apply another one, goes up to 14% on the total bundle. So you want to get the best price? Consider joining all of these. Or maybe if you already have all of the courses, or you want all of the courses that I have, not just the new crash courses, which are brand new content, but you want lifetime access to all of the courses, all of the crash courses, all of the live streams, the historical live streams, everything that comes with the Profit Portal, well, then scroll down to the Profit Portal and get that before the price goes up tonight as well. Right here, get lifetime access to the complete Profit Portal. Both of these at meetkevin.com to learn. So what possible excuse could there be as to why this time could be different? Well, some argue that this time is different because individuals have an expectation that inflation is going to go away. As a result of people's expectation that inflation is not going to stay and that inflation is going to go away, this time is different. And the yield curve is just representing the difference between people's near and long-term inflation expectations. In other words, let's try to make this simplified English, okay? The yield curve is the difference between the 10-year yield, which is your long-term yield, longer-term yield, right? Compared to the 2-year, which is your shorter-term yield. Well, if people think we're going to have inflation for a few years and then no inflation in the long term, then it would make sense that the 2-year pays you more money in yield, so in other words, higher yield, and the long term can be lower because we don't expect that inflation to be around long. Well, that is the definition of the inverted yield curve. In other words, maybe today, because people believe that inflation will go away in the long term, we actually have this inverted yield curve, and that this time is just magically different, that this is not a problem. And maybe that is true. That is the best counter argument, potentially the only counter argument, to why the inverted yield curve will not signal a great reset. Though when we simply look at history, that seems scary, especially since we have ticking time bombs that the Federal Reserve faces. And we should talk about those ticking time bombs, as well as the idea of, is the Fed overdoing it? Well, consider the ticking time bombs, and then we'll ask, is the Fed overdoing it? First, this is a chart of inflation expectations. It shows you that inflation expectations today are around 2.3% for the next 5 years. If we draw a dotted line across here, you can see our inflation expectations are lower, roughly lower than where they were going into the 2007 crisis, and they're slightly higher than where they were for really the past 10 years before COVID. So we're kind of in like a mid-range that suggests, all right, inflation's probably going to go away. This corroborates the idea of the inverted yield curve simply signaling, hey, things aren't necessarily that bad. Yes, prices have gone up substantially, but inflation continuing is going away. You look at Kroger, you look at Costco, you look at almost any of the company earnings calls that we've seen this year, and what do you see? You see inflation that's basically gone. And no, we're not talking about prices coming back down to lower levels. I have to clarify this every time, but you should know this. The Fed is not in business to try to bring prices back down to where they were. They just don't want prices to keep skyrocketing. That's it. Okay? The Fed does not care that prices went from $100 to $130 because we had 20 to 30% inflation. They don't care. They just don't want to go from 130 to 160 because that's unsustainable. So the Fed has to do what I like to say. Put on the boot. They put on a thick boot, kick you in your butt, slam you to the ground, and then put a boot on your neck. The problem is, there's a bunch of water on the floor, and you're kind of drowning. And those are the bombs of the economy. This is problematic. See, the bombs of the economy are the following. Real estate exploding. What happens if the housing market falls apart? Well, so far, it hasn't really happened yet. Yeah, real estate prices came down 10 to 20% in 2022 from their peak. Peak was around May, bottom was around December. Then people started buying again because people believed that interest rates would be high for a transitory period of time. That is, eventually rates would come down because inflation will go away and you may as well buy now because you're going to buy anyway. That's been one of the reasons real estate has been propped up, on top of the fact that we just haven't seen enough real estate hit the market, because even though some institutions are liquidating, they're not enough liquidating, and people are kind of locked into 2 to 3 to 4% interest rates, so why sell and get rid of that? So real estate somewhat survived. Now, eventually, real estate will fall apart. It can't sustain the weight of 7 to 8% interest rates forever. Some are suggesting that time is now. In fact, in the real estate market locally, well, when I say locally, I mean in individual real estate markets throughout the country that I've been visiting, from Florida to Nashville to Idaho to Austin, Texas, to Northern California to Southern California, I've started to see a shift. Markets that were extremely hot are starting to become less hot. Markets that were less hot are starting to become not hot at all. And markets that weren't hot are starting to collapse. Now, that's scary, but that's to be expected. Eventually, the people who are willing to say, I'll buy and I'll pay the higher payment for a while, will go away. And then, months' supply of housing will skyrocket. Even if the number of homes on the market stays the same, if the number of buyers collapses, months' supply goes through the roof. Now, what ends up happening? Real estate prices come down. And then the markets that were investing in unlivable homes at my real estate startup, House Hack, we are finding more and more desperate sellers, and homebuyers aren't there to buy them, which is interesting because not only does it give us great opportunities to buy wedge deals below market value, but it also makes us question, will things be even worse in November and December? The answer is maybe yes. So we're being very prudent in the way that we're investing in the market, and I believe you should be as well. If you, though, don't have the time, money, or credit to invest in real estate, and you're looking for a way to get great access to a real estate company, consider going to househack.com, read the offering circular, watch the video explaining the company, learn about House Hack. It's my real estate startup, and I'm really excited about the company. Obviously, with every real estate startup, or any startup for that matter, there are risks. But my goal is to make this company a success. That's my goal, can't promise it. But if you'd like to invest, you can invest at a one-to-one valuation, which means now until the round closes, which once we max out, it'll be closed and that valuation will probably be gone, you can invest where the amount of money we raise is the valuation of the company. If we raise $50 million, the valuation will be $50 million, obviously minus fees and otherwise. Go to househack.com to learn more. And real estate prices coming down and staying down is something that can lead to unemployment or employment collapsing. And that's because when real estate values come down, we expect that individuals will spend even less money, removing one of the last supports that the stock market really has, which is even though earnings aren't growing the way they used to grow, they have a floor under them. People are still spending a decent amount of money because earnings have a floor under them. The stock market has actually recovered in somewhat of a Nike swoosh recovery this year. It's been volatile over the last 2 months, which we expected all year, but most of the year it's been pretty straight up, which is pretty remarkable in this sort of environment. So the question is, if housing falls and then unemployment rises, are these the bombs that are officially going to lead to the nasty recession where all of a sudden, when people stop spending money, companies say, that's it, we have to lay off, not just a little house cleaning, but real tightening in the belt because we have to survive. And in that real tightening, we get a severe recession, which is what the yield curve is implying. And of course, then GDP actually meaningfully goes negative. Right now, GDP estimates are 0.8% for the end of the year. We just had numbers that came out just yesterday that told us, we're not knocking on the door of recession just yet. When we look at the numbers that came out just yesterday on the 28th, we look at GDP prices. Survey said 2%. We got 1.7%. Once again, less inflation than expected. GDP annualized comes in at 2.1%. It's not recessionary. Personal consumption comes in lower than expected. Instead of 1.7%, we got 0.8%. So softer than expected, but still stronger than recessionary. So now the question really becomes, how do we put all of this together? Is this time different? And when does the Federal Reserve take the boot off the neck? Look, if inflation is truly going away and companies are starting to feel the pinch and consumption is starting to come in soft, why is the Fed keeping the boot on the neck of the economy? Well, it's because of the lessons of the 1980s. The lessons of the 1970s and early 80s taught us that if you remove the boot too soon, you end up creating repeated short cycles of inflation and recessions. So when we left the gold standard in the early 1970s, we never crimped inflation expectations and kept them low. We never controlled inflation expectations. That led to repeated recessions and joblessness over and over and over again. Multiple recessions. Rather than 10 years of just growth like we had after the 2008 recession, we had 10 years of recessions every 3 to 4 years. And that's what the Federal Reserve does not want to repeat today. So the Federal Reserve says, you know what? Even if we think, and I believe this, okay, this is what I really believe. I believe the Federal Reserve is sitting in a room going, all right, guys and gals, listen. We got inflation under control. Inflation is solved. Not only is inflation solved, but if we just stay the course, we might be able to nail a soft landing. I think they're sitting in their room saying exactly that. However, they know that if they come out today and say, guys, gals, ladies, gentlemen, we solved inflation, everyone and their mom is going to go from money market funds to stocks. And then they're going to take some of that cash and they're going to go buy. They're going to go buy a new car and they're going to go buy a house. And what is that going to do? It's going to drive up car prices. It's going to drive up stocks. It's going to drive up home prices. It's basically going to put a lot of energy and momentum behind the economy again. If inflation is gone, that's great. But what if inflation isn't certainly gone? And there's a little bit of a hot spot left like a fire. A house burns down. Fire department, put out all the fire. And then what do you have afterwards? You have little hot spots, little areas that are still glowing orange, especially when you walk around them with your boots and you kick some of the soot. And then all of a sudden, oh, a little fire reignites. That's what they don't want. But they can. Just like that. They could support the economy again, driving home prices up. Because as soon as people believe that interest rates are plummeting, interest rates will fall rapidly. Because people will buy bonds. They will lock in their bonds. They'll lock in the 10-year treasury yield. This is natural, okay? It's greed 101. But every human should do it. If the Fed comes out and says inflation is solved, every human should literally buy treasury bonds because you've got probably massive capital gains ahead of you. Because bond yields will plummet, bond prices will skyrocket, stocks will probably go up because now we'll support the economy again with low rates once again, and real estate will go up because finally the people who are on the sidelines who are like, I ain't paying 7-8%, I can't even afford that, are like, well, now I can afford it, A, and B, if rates are coming down, then we'll probably go back to real estate going up because it tends to do that over history. So why not? That's what the Fed doesn't want to do. The Fed knows everyone is going to do that. So they have to lie to our faces. They have to lie to us and tell us, I don't know, might need to raise rates again. Hey, Jamie Dimon, can you come out and suggest that maybe we'll have to go to 7%? Just put the fear of God and doubt in people that we might truly have to go even higher. And you know what? So far, higher has been true because we haven't had any bomb explode yet in real estate, employment, and GDP. The economy's held up really well. So why take the boot off? Why give up? Now, of course, then you've got energy prices, but energy prices are pretty volatile and generally are looked through when it comes to determining inflation. Yes, when gas prices are high, it's more expensive for businesses to provide goods and services, which should be inflationary. But inflation can be limited by the pure fact that businesses might not be able to charge more because of the inelasticity of demand. In English, people are tapped. They don't got money to pay more for crap, so they're not going to pay more for crap. And to the extent that they're not willing to pay more for crap, oil and gas prices going up just creates more fears that we're hitting stagflation when that's probably not the case. Oil and gas prices are heavily manipulated. Not only is output heavily manipulated, but investment has been incredibly low in new gas facilities and oil facilities and wells. Why? Because we were told we hit peak oil. What do we need? Well, what we might need is more data. We just got some more data. I'm going to read off the data in just a moment here. But point is, so oil and gas prices are heavily manipulated by supply constraints, OPEC Plus, and the lack of us investing in America. Keystone Pipeline certainly didn't help. Lack of fracking, and new drilling permits probably doesn't help. Almost certainly doesn't help. And so, of course, we're going to get energy price volatility. But that doesn't necessarily mean consumer prices are going to skyrocket. What did we just get? PCE, the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, month over month, comes in at 0.4. The expectation was 0.5. Year over year matches 3.5. Core deflator month over month comes in at 0.1 versus 0.2. These are some good numbers, good PCE numbers. Personal income matches a 0.4 expectation. Personal spending matches comes in a little low at 0.4 versus the 0.5 expected. And inventories are starting to, build up. Retail inventories expected to come in at 0.5%, coming in at 1.1%, higher than expected, with a higher revision on top of that. So in other words, the Fed's functioning. They are slowing the economy. They are achieving what they are trying to achieve. They're not destroying the economy yet, and they're keeping the boot on the neck of the economy to convince us that inflation is gone, to try to make us buy money market fund. So the question now is, do we buy stocks or do we do what the people on Twitter say? And why would you buy stocks if you could have 7% money market funds? Well, here's the reality. As a licensed financial advisor who's not giving you personalized financial advice, you have to ask yourself, is the United States screwed? Is the dollar going to collapse Is the debt bubble going to explode? Yes. Those things will happen at some point in the future. Now, when will that happen, Kevin? Probably in 50 to hundreds of years. I don't know. At some point, the debt bubble will catch up. Unless we have some kind of utopian explosion of GDP. At some point, the dollar will probably collapse. All currencies always collapse. Unless, again, we have some kind of utopian explosion in GDP and everybody lives in a Ready Player One capsule and who cares what's happening in the economy because you've got Apple Pro Vision headsets on and you don't really care because you're happy and all your needs are met and you'll own nothing and be happy. Who knows? In the near term, is the debt bubble and the government shutdown really going to collapse the global economy and the United States? No. Even if we go into a recession, is it the end of the world? No. And so for the vast majority of investors, if you can look through the pain of potentially the next 2 years, like if you look at the money you have and you're like, well, I'm working so I can pay my bills for the next 2 years. Great. Or, well, I got enough investments to get me through the next 2 years. Well, then maybe it doesn't really matter what happens in the short term. The short term is just a trading opportunity to get in, get out, play volatility, whatever. You know, Kenny G at Citadel's doing it, so why not play trading yourself a little bit as well? I send my buy-sell alerts in the Stocks and Psychology Money Group. Is there a big risk to owning money market funds and just sitting in cash? Well, of course there is. Because those money market funds yielding 5% or whatever you might be getting on your money market funds, depending on your banking relationship. My real estate startup gets somewhere around 5.5% over at JP Morgan, but that's because you've got to have certain banking relationships and bring in new money, whatever, which we are for our fundraise. Go to househack.com to learn more about that. Point is, those money market funds could be an opportunity cost because the reality is you want to take that money potentially, and if you believe that the world is not going to end, you start deploying that to buy distressed real estate. Probably in earnest here, November, December, I think things are going to get a little more ugly, quite a bit more ugly. And I'm starting to see things trend in that direction right now. If I had to tell you which way things were trending in real estate right now, it's this way. And maybe you buy stocks. Does that mean you're definitely not going to have pain ahead of yourself? No. And you look at what looks like a double top on the SQQ or the on QQQ or the SPY, NASDAQ or the S&P 500. It's not a perfect double top, but that's only a bull saying it's not a perfect double top. It looks pretty nasty, okay? It usually signals bearishness coming. But those, again, could be trading opportunities. Maybe sitting in money markets is the right idea, or you'll face a massive opportunity cost. So, what do we have? Well, what we have is an economy that has not faced bombs yet. But the Federal Reserve is certainly pushing us closer to facing those bombs. And in my opinion, most of the new inflation that the Federal Reserve is fearing is not manifesting. The new inflation is gone. Yes, prices are higher, but the new inflation is gone. The Federal Reserve, at any moment, something breaks, has 5.5% of rates to take their foot off the neck. And that'll be very supportive, hopefully, to real estate and stocks. So I think there can be a very rapid turnaround. Usually interest rates take the stairs up and the elevator down because something breaks. So the question is, do you invest when we're taking the elevator down or will that be too late? Will the stock market have already priced in that the elevator will be coming down soon? Well, if you believe this time is different, then you're probably all in on the market because even if it's not different, you're going to be able to get through it because you've got enough savings. That is, the market is trying to pre-price in that, you know, this time is different. And, you know, when rates fall, we'll already have passed the bottom. Maybe the bottom was, you know, last June to December of last year because markets pre-priced in everything. Maybe the market's got that good. Either way, probably not the end of the world. Probably going to be a-okay to invest for the long term and get educated. And that's why you should take advantage of the expiring coupon code today for the Nuverse Pro Crash Courses, which will teach you how to negotiate, teach you sales, teach you investing. Learn all about them by going to meetkevin.com. Thanks so much for watching. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.
advertise these things that you told us here. I feel like nobody else knows about this.
We'll try a little advertising and see how it goes.
Congratulations, man. You have done so much. People love you. People look up to you.
Kevin Paffrath there, financial analyst and YouTuber. Meet Kevin. Always great to get your take.